Well, thank you, Dave, for those lovely hymns, and thank you for singing so beautifully. Thank you for playing the piano and the four on the strings. We appreciate that very, very much. Some of these hymns really hit me in the heart. It's over 60 years that I knelt in about 4 inches of snow and away from our country schoolhouse where I'd heard the gospel. And I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. And we're going to sing at the closing, "All the way my Savior led me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" When Marion and I arrived just a few days after our wedding in Montrauk, a suburb of Iroquois Falls, little gospel hall there, 16 feet wide, and at the back of it was a little apartment. We moved into that apartment. We had in my wallet $15. That was it. Over 60 years, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. That hymn was sung in 1950 when the assembly in Greenwood Gospel Chapel, then it was called the Grace and Truth Gospel Hall, we sang that, "Great is thy faithfulness." We didn't know how many years that we were looking into, but it's been a long time. We've written our testimony in a little booklet called "A Grain of Mustard Seed." Sorry, that's the one about the chapel. It was a kernel of wheat. I did a lot of hours in the wheat fields in Manitoba when I was a teenager, shoveling grain and forking sheaves from early morning till dusk in the evening. And so I thought that was a fitting little word for the title of our testimony, "Kernel of Wheat." The Lord Jesus is that true kernel of wheat. And it was he who certainly died as a kernel of wheat and rose to bring forth much fruit. So that's our testimony. I think there might be a copy in the library if you look. If not, we can give you one. But this morning we have that beautiful passage in Peter's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going through Peter's letters. And you know, as you read these letters, you're just amazing at the depth of truth that Peter brings to us. Simple yet sublime. Let's read from verse 11. Our passage is from verse 11 to 25. If you're using a Pew Bible, I think you'll find it at 1888. I'll give you a moment to find that. Chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Peter. And I'm reading from the King James because it's so much a part of my very fiber. My mind is full of the King James Version. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I ask two questions concerning this chapter, or for answers in this chapter. What is the Lord Jesus in this passage? And what are we without him, as you find in this chapter? And then, what are we with him? But I found as I read through this over and over again that I noticed there were certain little segments that can receive a title. And each of these segments, the word that I use to describe it starts with the letter S. Preachers like this, don't they? It has to start with either P or S. Well, you might choose some other letter if something, these two are hard to find. All right, I'll give you I think there's six. First of all, separation, verse 12, or 11. Then submission, verse 13. Then in verse 19, suffering. Verse 24, substitution. And then salvation. But let's take them one at a time. And we have to be finished, don't we, at 12 o'clock, right? There's enough to keep us all afternoon in the very words that we find here. First of all, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Well, that's descriptive of a Christian, or at least it should be, stranger and a pilgrim. As a stranger, we're away from home. As a pilgrim, we're on our way home. Strangers and pilgrims. A good example of that, we had this earlier meeting when we had a little study of Abraham. And he was certainly that. He was a stranger and a pilgrim. And what he had was a tent and an altar. A tent and an altar. However, we're strangers, away from home, pilgrims, on our way home. Here's a little hymn I enjoy very much. We couldn't find the words in any of our many hymn books at home. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and the glory I there shall behold. What a day that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. So that's where we're going if we're Christians. The second word is the word submission. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that as they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in a day of visitation. Submit yourselves. The theme of this passage is just that, submission. You find in this passage, verse 18, submission, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And then, in verse 1 of chapter 3, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So we're going to back up a bit to the first word that I gave you, separation. I beseech you, verse 11, as strangers and pilgrims, that ye abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So we meet as a stranger and a pilgrim. Peter and the Lord behind Peter and inspiring Peter to write these words says that as a Christian, you need to be separate from the evils of the world around us. It seems that we're dropping our guard a little too much. In this very aspect, the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, brethren, and that includes the sisters, of course, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, I'm getting it mixed up with this, likewise, brethren, I'm going to turn to it just to remind myself. You could do it, couldn't you? Many of you could. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Verse 12, having your conversation honest, that where they speak, as among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We ask the question, just what do you mean by visitation? One commentary that gave me a little clue, William MacDonald's commentary, by the way, he said there are two aspects of visitation by God. One, when you become a Christian. Two, when he comes in glory to judge, day of visitation. And the first, of course, is that day when you accept Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Let's move down to verse 14. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. So is the will of God, that you with well-doing put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There are two kinds of governments, I suppose, over us, maybe many more kinds, but we as Christians are to obey the government. I have a Toyota, little thing, but it came without a cruise control. And sometimes I found it was going a little too fast. And my wife would say, "Dear, you're 110. I lifted my foot a bit. So we decided the best thing to do was to get a cruise control installed. And what a blessing that is. Set it at 90. If you're going down to Northland, set your cruise control on 90, and you're safe. If you set it higher, you might just see one of these governors in your rearview mirror. But we leave that, okay? Let your conscience be your guide as well as let the word of God be your guide too. We're subject, verse 13, to the governments, and servants to masters. Servants, be obedient, be subject. You know, you might say, well, I don't want to be subject to him. He's not a believer. And I think of an illustration of this. When I was in the Army, I trained as a paratrooper. I was in New Market basic training, sent to Camp Shiloh for my parachute training. And the first day there, I learned that sometimes there is incumbent in a person some authority. While I was in the basic training, we had coveralls, and it was just a habit to do this, you know, your thumb in your pocket. Well, apparently, now this is my first day at Camp Shiloh, apparently that was a no-no law, Camp Shiloh. And there was a young man, I was about 21 then, there was a man or a boy in uniform, much younger. I don't know whether he lied to get in the Army, but he was too young to be sent overseas, so they gave him one stripe. He became a Lance Corporal. Now, I was still a private. I had my privacy all the way through. But anyway, I did what we did in Newmarket. Soldier, you don't do that here. Get down and give me 25 push-ups. Well, he had the authority. I guess I could have beat him easily, but I had to obey the authority that was invested in that young man. So I got down and did 25 push-ups. But I will confess something, that in the paratroops, a push-up was counted, one going down and one coming up. So it was really boiled down to just 12 push-ups. By the time our training was well into its session, we were doing 60 and 70 of these double push-ups. That's not bragging, it's just giving you the facts. So, then in chapter 3, verse 1, Peter follows Paul in his writings, or maybe Paul was copying Peter. Wives, to your husbands. Let's move on to the sufferings then. Verse 14, first of all, unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. There are those who make professions of Christianity, and they find out that there's freedom in Christ. Yes, but that freedom is not a license to commit sins, as Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5. Suffering, verse 19. This is thankworthy. If for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? For if when ye do well, suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. It's been often pointed out that it doesn't say follow in his steps. It says follow his steps. We couldn't follow perfectly the Lord Jesus, who is absolutely perfect, separated indeed. But this is what is before us, to follow it, follow his steps as believers. Then move down to 24, substitution. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died for our sins. He died for my sins and your sin. Look at it like this. My sins were heavy. I had many of them. But God saw that those sins were placed on Christ when he went to the cross. He bore them completely. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being, listen, dead to sins. Christ died for our sins. And we died in Christ, and we are risen with Christ to live in his resurrection power. We being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Think of these as two countries. There's the country of sin. I lived in that. Here's the country of righteousness. Now as a Christian, that's where I live. That's where I belong. Should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Here Peter is quoting from Isaiah chapter 53. By his stripes we are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, sheep without a shepherd, lost in the wilderness of sin. But the Lord Jesus was that good shepherd who went after the sheep till he found it, put it on his shoulders, brought it into his presence. Ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop, or overseers of your souls. Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned. So that's what we are now as Christians, in the shepherd's fold, under his care, living for his glory. May God bless to us this wonderful passage by the Apostle Peter. Let's turn in our hymn book to number 460. 460. All the way my Savior leads me. Now, remember, we started the meeting by mentioning how we started way back 61, 2 years ago. I think it's coming up to 62, is it? More? Three? I'll have to get that right before it comes. But now looking back over these years, we can say, all the way my Savior leads me. 460. that we would have liked to have had on the overhead. We all sing together, but I'm just going to read it as a conclusion of our study this morning. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be.